Hi there, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. I'm so happy to be here with you tonight. I want to tell you, well, first of all, this program is about, if you've never listened before, it's about the Akashic Records, and it's about how we can use the Akashic Records in every area of your life. And I access the Akashic Records through a holy prayer, a sacred prayer. It's a specific sacred prayer. It's not religious, and it doesn't have any ties to any belief systems. But it's a sacred prayer that is specifically created from the divine to help us access our soul's information. And I not only do individual consultations, I do lectures and workshops, but the workshops that I do teach people how to access their own Akashic Records. And they also teach, that's level one. And then level two, you learn how to work with other people's records, to learn how to read other people's records, the records of the land and animals. And then level three is a deeper expansion of the energy. And tonight, first of all, I'd like to say hello and sending lots of love to my level one students from this weekend. We did that in Cleveland, Ohio, and I just want to also mention that I'm going to be in New York City in Manhattan on Wednesday. I'm going to be lecturing at the ARE Center in New York City on West 30th Street, and I'm going to be at the Edgar Cayce Center of New York. There in Manhattan, and that's on Wednesday, August 12th, and the lecture is set for 7 o'clock, and it's a two-hour lecture, and I'm going to be doing opening up the records of the group and opening up individual records. The next day, I'm going to be doing consultations right there in New York City at the Edgar Cayce Center, and I only have maybe one or two openings left. But if you're in the New York area and that's of interest to you, please email me. Again, my email is info, at Akashic Wisdom, just like the name of the program, akashicwisdom.com. So that's what's happening. And again, for those people in New York, going to be doing a level one Akashic Records workshop at the end of September. You can certainly register for that now. I've got a level two coming up in November. In November. And also a level three. So if that's something of interest to you, if you'd like to go all the way with the Akasha, you could come to New York in September. I'm also doing a level one in October in Columbus, Ohio. And a level two, let me see there, a level two in the first weekend in November. And then this is something that people have been waiting for a long time, a level three. Level three is going to be on November 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th in Cleveland, Ohio, or in the Cleveland area. That's where we're going to be doing it. So those are just kind of some things that we're doing. But I want to dedicate this program. Tonight's theme, I opened up the records prior to this show, as I do every week. And next weekend is a very special weekend in my life. My oldest son is getting married, and he's getting married in New Jersey, and it's one of the reasons I'm going to be in Manhattan. I was so close. But anyway, he's getting married, and this will mean that all three of my children have found their beshert in Jewish, their meaningful one, so that all three of my children will be coupled. They will have someone in their life. And he's found the perfect girl for him. Her name is Becky. His name is Brian. And they like to refer to themselves as two bees in a pod. It's a little corny, but it's their way of saying how much they love each other. And so when I opened up the records and I asked what is the theme of this program, they suggested that I dedicate this program to Brian and Becky for their wedding and for their new life together. And to the theme of this program is going to be marriage. let's talk about marriage and relationship, and it's not just marriage between two loved ones, as far as one person and their partner. It's a dedication of marriage between our personality and our soul. It's a dedication of marriage between our desires, our dreams, and our accomplishments. It's a marriage of light and love and our truth and the trust we have in ourselves. See, there's many ways to look at marriage. There's many ways that we can move into partnering with ourselves and others. And so for tonight, I would love to talk about relationships. I would like to talk about love. I would love to talk about soulmates. You know, we talked about soulmates before, and we talked about soul partners. But tonight, I'd like to talk about a good relationship. What really constitutes and equals a healthy, loving relationship? And not only what is the definition of that, but how do you find it? And who do you have to be able to attract it? And so tonight, if you feel like calling in, that'd be great. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to have a discussion with you about this. And until you call in, I'm going to let you know what the record keepers have to say on this. But if you'd like to call in and discuss it, or ask some questions about it, you can call 888-228-4494. And that's a worldwide toll-free number. So, I'm going to tell you a story of love and light. And the story is of meeting a man and meeting him at a very special time in my life. And this is my first husband. This is Brian's dad. Brian's dad died when he was 6. And even though I've remarried, and I'm lucky enough to be married to a wonderful man for the last 26 years, when certain things like this happen, when happy things like marriages happen and birth of the grandchildren happen, we miss those who are not with us anymore. And so at this time, when Brian's getting married, it's only natural to miss his father, because he was truly the love of my life. And one of the things that's important, and I've been very lucky to marry a second time with a man who is very similar feelings for me, and it's a wonderful feeling. Not to mention the fact that, you know, sometimes you just have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find that prince, you know? And I was lucky to find two princes in my life, but Saul was a very special man who loved me and loved his children. And then I married, once he died, you know, he died when my kids, again, as I mentioned another time, were 16 months, 3 and 6, I met Ruby Fox. And yes, they both have the same last name. There was Saul Fox, and then I married Ruby Fox. They never really knew each other, but they were from the same town in Massachusetts. Birthdays are 2 days apart. Youngest sons are 3, boy, girl, boy. And we all use nicknames. And so the similarity or the idea of finding someone like that was very unusual. But what does it take to have a happy, healthy relationship? The first thing I think it takes is trust. You have to know that the person you're in love with, you trust with your life. And there were times where Saul would watch our children play and look at me lovingly and say to me, you know, I love you so much. I would die for you. And being young and not realizing really the profundity and the depth of that statement, I would turn back and say, yeah, well, I'll let you know when we get kidnapped. And I wasn't trying to make light of it, but I just was too young to really receive the depth of that information. Saul was 10 years older than I, and Ruby is 22 years older than I. But the issue is that trust is very important when it comes to loving. And so one of the things that as we look at what it takes to create a happy, loving relationship is when you are with that person, do you trust that you are the most important person in that person's life? Do you trust that you can be away from that person for a week or two or whatever, and that person will remain true to you? And so it's really about looking into your heart and searching your being to see how you feel about that loved one. And is this person someone you would trust no matter what? Not only with your heart and your affection and your emotions, but with your life, your livelihood, your money. You know, a good relationship is a relationship that is an equal relationship, that is an open relationship, that is an honest relationship, where the communication is easy. A loving relationship is one where you can talk to your lover about pretty much anything, and even if they don't understand what you're talking about, they are willing to listen to you. And that's important. Acceptance is also important in a happy, loving relationship and a healthy relationship. Acceptance of who you are, of all the things that are wonderful about you and all the things that are maybe not so hot. We all have them. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And so it's important that your partner accept you for who you are in a loving, loving way. True love is not about criticism. True love is not about your loved one telling you what's wrong with you all the time. True love is not telling your loved one what's wrong with them all the time. For if you're in a relationship, you want to be able to know that that person is who you want to spend your life with, just the way they are. So if you're in a relationship with someone and you keep thinking, if only they would, well, maybe they'll change, or maybe they'll get better, or all they need is a good person with them, all they need is a good woman, or all they need is a structured person, they'll become more responsible. If you're having those kinds of conversations with yourself or your friends, it's time to really look closer. Do people change? Sure. Is it a guarantee they'll change? No. Because the only person you can guarantee any change is you. You can't guarantee that person's going to change. And so you need to love them for exactly who they are. And you need to know they love you. This is not a guessing game. It's about an open relationship where emotions are expressed to the level that makes you feel cherished and loved. And if, in fact, your partner can't express themselves the way you want them to express themselves, but yet you can see by their actions and everything they say and do, those actions sometimes speak louder than any words. And again, if you're looking for a lover who is extremely romantic and treats you like a queen or treats you like a king, and what's missing is the person is just not as romantic as you like, but he treats you wonderfully. Or he forgets your birthdays, but creates a special day every day. There are things that you need to take a look at and prioritize of what is truly important for you. It's not about not having it all. It's about becoming mature enough to know what's important to you. And at the same time, it's about expressing yourself and feeling free enough to express yourself to your loved one, to say and express how important certain things are to you. And to take on the attitude, well, if they really loved me, they would. Or if I have to tell them, it's not good. First of all, you need to know that your lovers aren't mind readers. And in order for them to know what you love or what you want or who you are and what you like, you have to express yourself. The same thing with what you don't like. And that's the whole part of getting to know each other. And that's the whole part of learning to love each other. And that's the whole part of being willing to take a look at what you are, what you will accept from someone else and what you're not willing to accept. And so marriage is so important because it's not a dress rehearsal. No, marriage is just not a dress rehearsal. And I know there's a lot of folks out there that have gotten married and ended up getting divorced. And maybe got married again and divorced again. And then end up having relationships and they feel like, quote unquote, they are the failure. And, you know, it's not about a failure. It's about getting clear about what you truly want in your life and being clear about attracting that special person. But what's really most important is that you be the kind of person you would like to be with. So you need to be able to fall in love with you, so someone can see how magnificent you are. You cannot expect anyone to love you more than you love yourself. And so it's important at this time for you to really move into a space of light and love and discernment. And what that discernment means is it's about prioritizing what's the most important thing for you in a relationship. Now, if you were to think about even a relationship with work, you know, you have a job. There is commitment there. There is a marriage of your heart with your work. And so it's really important also, and I'm just going to go to the career for a moment, that you move into a space of measuring your passion or your excitement for your job. Now, clearly, not everyone is doing what they love. And there's some people who don't require it. There's some people who are very happy just to go to work every day, put their time in, do their work, and they want their home, their family, and their friends as their passion, they are okay with not being passionate with their work, but just to put their time in. And, you know, if that's what they enjoy and that's okay with them, great. And there's other people who would love to feel a passion for what they do. They want to be of service to humanity. And they don't know how to marry their talents with a livelihood. And the interesting thing about it is that people have a sense that perfection is what is expected in all areas of their life. And if they don't hit the mark of perfection, they feel like they are failures. And so it's really important as you're looking at your life to see where you can give yourself a pat on the back and where you can actually feel good about what you've accomplished. It's important to create that personal inventory. It's important to create that list of characteristics that you would like in your lover. There's a friend of mine who recently had a birthday, and one of the things that she had, she invited a few of her very dearest friends. It was quite enjoyable because we all went to the beach. We had a picnic on the beach. Yes, there's a beach in Ohio. It's called Lake Erie. It's great. We went to Metter Headlands, and what she asked for us is that we write a criteria list of the perfect man for her. What she wanted us to do was to create qualifications or attributes or traits, etc., like a laundry list, like a grocery list of all the things that her Mr. Wonderful would have. And for us to hold that energy for her. And that she would find that Mr. Wonderful. And so we did. And there was like five of us there. And what was so fun about that is that we all, you know, literally brought her into our field and imagined all the different personality traits or attributes that we would like to see her have. And we just rattled them off. And so what I would like you to do is to really make a list of all the things that you would like your wonderful partner to have. And don't forget healthy. And don't forget spiritual. And remember humor, a good sense of humor. And whatever else would be so important to you. The reason why a sense of humor is important is because without it, you just become too serious. So you want to make a list, a shopping list, if you will, of what you want your perfect partner to have. You know, you can put looks in there if you'd like, but we're really talking more about the essence of happiness here. So when you think of yourself with a partner, what do you think? Who do you imagine? So, if someone were to give you a blessing for your perfect life, what would that blessing include? What would you want others to wish for you? And so here's what I'd like to offer. We can create a, what they call a mastermind, a dream weaving, if you will. And if you would just make up your list, very descriptive list of your personal partner, you can email it to me, your list, with just your first name. You don't have to put your last name in there. And we can actually mastermind and dream weave for you. So what you can do is write your perfect list, move into that list, and list all the things that you would like to see, and then we will go ahead and write that down. I will say it on the air, and everybody will just picture that type of person for you. And so we do have a question here. I've got somebody who emailed me a question, and you can email me questions. And the question that comes up that is right here, it says, it was referring to the trust of when I was saying that one of the most important things in a mate is trust. And the question that wants me to clarify, is it what I trust about myself that I'm not trusting about my mate or this other person? Well, that's very interesting. Trust is very important to have about yourself, that you trust your own decisions. But it's also important that you trust the other person you're with your life. So it's a personal trust of self, and it's a trust of your lover, of your mate. So it goes both ways. However, it's impossible to truly trust anyone unless you trust yourself. So if you have doubts about your life or the way things are, it's important for you to really ask yourself, what part of me don't I trust? So here's another question. It says, this person says, I am married to a soulmate, and he feels this in many ways. We see the big picture in so many ways, but we are on very different spiritual paths. I am a healer and he is a CPA. He does not understand my healing work. I struggle with staying with someone with such different values, yet we feel love and our children are more important than our personal desires. This feels like my last human challenge. How many of you are in this particular situation? This is so important to talk about. What I would like to share with you is that it's in a perfect world, we would have partners that were spiritually matched with us, or so it would appear. But the reality is, our partners that we have, even though they don't appear to be spiritually matched, are spiritually matched. And the reason this is, and this is what the record keepers are saying, that the lessons for those of us who have partners who don't necessarily understand our work as healers or in the New Age, in the expansive work that we're doing, the majority of people out there are with partners who are not aligned with this or don't understand it. It's at this point in time, it's rare to find partners who are spiritually matched. The reality is, the more that we open and the more the species actually changes, the more spiritually matched we will become. But what's important here is to understand that those that are partners that we see as not our spiritual mate, it was like they're not a match, are the grounders that we need to maintain our understanding and beingness. Those of us who have, and I include myself because my husband also is a person who doesn't necessarily understand what he do. It's interesting because he said to me just a few days ago, he said, now remember, I've been working with this for 12 years. And he said to me, When I tell people you work with the Akashic Records, they ask, what's that? What should I tell them? And I thought I think it's, first of all, it's great that he asked me the question. He's asked me before, but the idea here is the fact that he cares enough to be able to tell people what I do, even though he doesn't understand it. And so the issue here is for us to really look at our partners that we have and not trying to change them, but to appreciate who they are and appreciate what they bring to us. When we come to them from a space of love, we come to them with new eyes of understanding. And so the advice the record keepers would like to, or insights they would like to give you, is that this challenge that you have with your husband can be totally and completely learned, neutralized, by actually moving into understanding or appreciating him for who he is. Now, that will not eliminate your longing to have a partner that thinks the way you do. So that you have to look for it in other places. So the perfection that you sought when you married this man is what you received. You have grown in different ways. Yet you still share core values with your children and your home and your life. And so that's the way it is. I mean, that you have to love him for who he is. And somebody that said this to me a long time ago, because I used to complain that my husband didn't understand what I do or what I was interested in. And I thought that it was absolutely essential that he love everything that I love. And that's not necessarily true. This person said, you can't ask for lodgings from a homeless person. You can't ask for something they don't have. And that's why the advice came forward, or the information came forward, for the folks out there that are now looking, that if you walk into a relationship saying, if only he would, then you need to move away from that relationship unless you're able to expand and love him for exactly who they are. And so the recommendation here is that you look for ways he shows you he loves you. Because this, what I'm hearing is, it's not about you not feeling loved. It's about you having an expectation that he, quote unquote, should love you the way you want to be loved, rather than allowing him to love you the way he wants to love you. And so take a look at that. Take a look at the idea that there are many things that this particular partner does for you that shows you he loves you. And then begin appreciating that. The other piece is, it's too late to change him. Because remember, we only change ourselves. He may get curious, but if he doesn't go along with your program, you've got a lot of friends who love you, who do. And so, for the ones that are just going out there looking, there's a different set of information, and yet for those of us who, many of us, started this path after we had chosen the partners. So it's not about throwing away a relationship when we know this person is stable and loving and sees to our needs in other ways. It's important to understand that sometimes people do that and sometimes they stay with it, where they're at. It has to do with how you want your life to look and feel. There's some people who choose divorce because they don't have what they want in all areas. And for those people who are adamant about that, there is no wrong, right or wrong answer here. The only thing that would be inappropriate is for someone to stay in a relationship that is hurtful for them. No one should stay in a relationship that's abusive. No one should stay in a relationship that's physically abusive, emotionally abusive, or verbally abusive. If you feel criticized, if you feel in any way, shape, or form threatened, then it's time to get out of that relationship. One of the things that is coming forth for those people who are in a relationship of opposites, let's say, that it would be very important for you to make a list of all the things that you do love about that partner. And then ask him to make a list of all the things he loves about you. And clearly, that's kind of a fun thing to do when you're out to dinner together and it's a romantic time. So think about that. We have a tendency to ask or to expect other people to know how we want to be loved. And the reality is, people can only love us in the way they learned how to be loved when they were children. Think about that. So if you really want to get a good idea of how loving your partner is going to be, take a look at the relationship that your partner's parents had with each other, and take a look at the relationship your partner has with the parents. Because children learn how to love by observing how their parents love. And children learn how to love by the way they are treated by their parents and loved by their parents. And so if a person was raised in a dysfunctional home where there was a lot of come here, go away, even if there may not have been any kind of alcohol addiction, but there was emotional neediness, then you really have to look close about how that person learned to love. And in that case, that person may need a little more information from you about what's important to you in loving. And so when we raise our children, it's important to raise our children in a way that shows them how to be loved in a healthy way, rather than a needy way or a victim way. It's also important to take a look at what is our parents or our loved ones' relationship with their siblings. Remember, people learn how to love from their parents and when they're children. And so, if in fact you personally have experienced a division in your family between yourself and your parents, or between yourself and your siblings, it's going to be important for you to take a look at how you can heal that inner being, that inner you, that either was abandoned by your family, or that you abandoned because of a disagreement. And that part needs to be healed because it's going to be very hard for you to love completely when you don't feel loved yourself from your family. It's really about doing internal work so that you feel whole and complete and truly a child of the divine in a way that makes you feel safe, nurtured, and happy. That sounds like a tall order. It doesn't have to be. It just means that you need to communicate a little bit more. Just a little bit more with yourself. So there's another good question. The question is, how do you repattern the way you love if you had unhealthy models? Models of victimhood, abuse, and control issues. Great question. So let's talk about that. So if you were raised in a household that did have models of victimhood, abuse, and control issues, and you've already identified those issues, then what's going to be, and you're aware enough to say, that's a victim, that's a verbal abuse or a physical abuse or whatever, or that's a control issue. If you're aware enough to notice those actual instances, that it's, and especially if you have the tools of the Akasha or you have the tools of friends with the Akasha, that it's going to be important, or if you have friends that, or if you want to go into personal therapy, but let's just talk about friendship here in your own personal work. You want to move into the aspects of how to release those overlays of beliefs. So, for example, what the record keepers are saying, that it's very important that you actually become vigilantly aware of the similarities you have with the parents that you view with these other attributes, with these challenges. There is a similarity of the way you deal with things, and so it's really about noticing what the similarity is so that you can root it out, neutralize it, and create a new groove. So if there's someone who is acting like a victim, or they're feeling put upon, or they're feeling overwhelmed, or they're feeling that they are being taken advantage of, it's going to be very important for you to identify the places you also feel that, so that you can then shift that into an awareness of choice. So just think about that. The idea is that somebody is trying to manipulate you, that you can be aware of it and not allow it. And the idea, though, so here's the interesting thing about this. There's a piece that says, You were raised with the idea of victimhood. You fought hard to not play into that victim mentality. Yet there are ways that your parents or your family can actually put you in a victim stance. And when they put you in the victim stance is when you have to become vigilantly aware, so you don't move out of it in a defensive way. You move out of it in a powerful way. A non-charged way. A way that says, you're entitled to your opinion, and I have to go now. or you're entitled to your opinion, and I just don't agree with you. Rather than creating a fight, or rather than allowing that information to move into your field as truth. So it's really about breaking the patterns through awareness. In fact, working with the Akashic Records can very much help you move through the patterns to help you become aware and then neutralize them. Grace points, and this is something you learn in a level one class, are also important to releasing those concepts. And then the last question, the last comment here on this, is that you have to look at, again, and give yourself, be really honest with yourself of where you have your own victimhood, where you have your own control issues, etc., in your life. And then ask how that whole concept is serving you. Why, in other words, like, what does it bring to you? What is it allowing you to do, and what is it preventing you to do? And so that's really important for you to take a look at. Hopefully that's helpful. Now, we have about 5 or 10 more minutes with the show tonight, so if there's anybody who's going to call in, this would be the time to do it. Also, I'm going to give you, if you want to call me for a personal consultation, you can call me directly at my private number is 216-691-1233, or you can call here tonight on the Akashic Wisdom Show at 888-228-4494. Or, like other listeners have just done, you can go ahead and email me a question, and I will take it. Again, the email address is info@akashicwisdom.com. I think these are great questions, and I hope they were helpful to many, many people, which I really have a sense, and I'm being told they were. But it's really also important for you to realize is that when we ask our inner guidance, when we're working in the Akasha, for those people who are listening who know how to work with their own Akashic records, one of the questions you want to ask is, how am I being emotionally supported by the aspect of? How am I being emotionally supported by the situation? And then fill in the blank. What does this environment of, and then fill in the blank. So what does this environment of victimhood, what does this environment of victimhood show me that I need to see more deeply? How can I go deeper into the information? And how can I neutralize my need to control, for example? How can I neutralize my need to control? So can you have to understand the control issues that a person has are based 100% on lack of trust. People who have control issues don't trust themselves and they don't trust other people. So I really want you to take a look at that. If somebody is trying to micromanage something, it's because they don't trust that it's going to be done correctly. And I know we've all known people that do that, and we've all probably done that a little bit ourselves. And notice that when you're trying to micromanage something, it's because you think that the person who's doing it is not going to be doing it appropriately. Or they're going to forget something. Or they'll be distracted by something. for whatever reason, it's not going to be done to your specifications. There is a fear. It's based in fear, and it's based in a lack of trust. So it's really looking at your internal issues of your lack of trust of the divine and your lack of trust of the universe to bring you exactly what you need. And so it's really important to really look at that. And take the time to do the work. You know, we're all busy. And I'm, you know, just as responsible as the next for not doing some of the work that I know that I could be doing in the Akasha. We're all busy. But unless we do our own personal work to the depths that we know we need to, we cannot be of service to others. We have to go into the space of knowing. We have to go into the space of being willing to be conscious of the knowing. And I know it's easy to say, and sometimes not as easy to do. But little baby steps is all that takes. But it's got to come first with loving and appreciating who you are to the depths of your being. You have to know how magnificent you are. You have to know and have faith 100% that it will be brought to you. Every time we get frustrated, every time we think it's not going to happen, or we get angry because it's not happening or whatever, it puts us back a little bit. So it's truly the faith that's going to bring us where we need to go. And then it's release. It's about, I've done what I can do, I can do no more, and I give it over to you, God. Bring forth the information I need to know. So you have 5 more minutes to give me a call, and you can call me toll free. Go ahead, give me that phone call. 888-228-4494. Okay. I'm going to take the no phone calls as a signal that you folks were listening to every word and didn't want to interrupt. Well, I think that's great. I appreciate that. I do love talking to you, though. I do love hearing your opinion. I do love talking to you about whatever it is you want to talk about. So we're going to end up the last few minutes of the show with a blessing. And the blessing comes in the form of light. We ask all those who are looking for their special someone. May your hearts be open to you. May your burdens be lifted. May you move into your knowing. Of your path. And that knowing can take the form of feeling. May you know the feeling of what it feels like to be guided, what it feels like to be held, what it feels like to be surrounded in love. May you be blessed with miracles. May you be blessed with friends that love you. May you be blessed with a family that doesn't bug you. May you be blessed with the strength to bless others. May you be blessed to know when to walk away from the toxic people. May you be blessed to be strong in your own knowing of who you are. May you be blessed in your giving and receiving. May you be blessed with financial prosperity. May you have a deep knowing of your value. And may you look upon each new day as a miracle and a gift that has been given you. And so for Brian and Becky, my blessing for you is that you continue to find a new reason to love each other as you grow old together, as you grow in life together. May you find new ways to love each other. May you find new ways to love yourself. And so this is the program. So next week, I'm not sure, it may be a recorded program because their wedding is on Sunday, the 16th. And so based on what time the festivities end, I may or may not be on the air. So if I'm not, it'll be a great recorded program that was recorded another time. And you can email me questions for the following week. Because the following week, I am going to be in San Diego, and I'm going to be on that boat trip with Rayon, Laurie Anderson. We're going to be going out to look at the dolphins, and that's on Saturday, the 22nd of August. So I'm going to be doing my show on Sunday, from California. So just wanted to let you know about that, and, we're going to have a good time. Please email me your information if you're in the New York area by on Wednesday, August 12th, and say hello. If you'd like to register for that, it's an $18 fee for early registration and $27 at the door, and it's going to be a two-hour lecture and lots of fun. So, again, I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet radio show on August 9th, 2009, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records of the show are now closed. Have a wonderful, miracle-filled week, folks. And remember to tell the folks you love them, including yourself. This is Donna Fox saying goodnight.